Welcome back to the Core Daily Optimizer. I'm your host, and today we are opening with a longevity finding that should stop you in your tracks. Fountain Life, the precision diagnostics network co-founded by Peter Diamandis and Tony Robbins, just reported internal data from their Houston Center launch. Of all the members who walked through the door for their very first intake assessment, 3.4% of them had a cancer they had absolutely no idea they were carrying. And here's the critical detail. These were not sick people. These were self-described healthy individuals. Health-conscious, proactive, the exact demographic listening to a show like this right now. 3.4%. Undetected. That finding alone tells you everything about why the measurement-first principle is not optional, it is foundational. And that is the through line for everything we're covering today. Because whether we're talking about brain function, mood, immune competence, muscle longevity, or cancer detection, the master lever keeping people stuck is unaddressed metabolic dysfunction at the cellular level. Let's get into it. Let's lead with the hardest numbers in today's briefing, because they reframe everything else. Dr. Chris Palmer at McLean Hospital and Harvard Medical School has been analyzing the published outcomes of our current psychiatric treatment paradigm. Not fringe studies, not cherry-picked data, but the landmark trials that define standard of care. The STAR-D trial is the largest depression treatment study ever conducted, roughly 4,000 outpatients, 4 sequential treatment levels. When researchers reanalyzed the data using the original remission criteria, criteria that were actually changed mid-study, only 35% of patients achieved remission across all treatment levels combined. And in a 12-year longitudinal follow-up of over 400 depression patients, those individuals were symptomatically ill 59% of all weeks across that entire period. Only 10% achieved durable, lasting remission. For schizophrenia, a cohort of over 6,000 patients tracked across 3 years found only 13% were able to work or function meaningfully in society. Only 4%, achieved the composite outcome of symptomatic remission, quality of life, and functional recovery simultaneously. Dr. Palmer is precise about what this means. These are not access failures. These are efficacy failures. The current drugs are not disease-modifying in any meaningful population-level sense. So where does that leave us? It leaves us searching for the root cause, and the data is pointing somewhere most people haven't looked yet. Here is where the science gets genuinely fascinating. Dr. Palmer cites a convergence of research across neuroimaging, genetics, and clinical epidemiology. Researchers like Leahy in 2012 and Caspi and Moffitt in 2018 all arriving at the same uncomfortable conclusion. Every psychiatric diagnosis in the DSM appears to share a common underlying pathophysiology. Not similar mechanisms, a shared one, a general P factor, as it's called. And when you extend that finding to physical illness as well, a single candidate emerges as the common threat: brain energy metabolism dysfunction, potentially rooted in mitochondrial impairment. Now, the protocol here is grounded in a case that Dr. Palmer documented personally over 8 years of direct care. His patient had schizoaffective disorder, actively psychotic every single day, on 3 simultaneous antipsychotics at above FDA-approved doses, sleeping approximately 16 hours per day, and weighing 340 pounds from medication-related weight gain. Dr. Palmer initiated a ketogenic diet purely for weight management. There was no psychiatric intent whatsoever. What happened next is the mechanistically significant part. At approximately 2 weeks, the patient showed a marked reduction in depression, spontaneous eye contact for the first time in 8 years, unprompted communication, humor. Hallucinations and delusions were still present, but something had shifted in the substrate. By 8 weeks, the patient spontaneously reported that the voices were beginning to resolve. By 10 weeks, the patient voluntarily acknowledged that the persecutory delusional system no longer felt real, and stated, quote, "Maybe I have schizophrenia like everybody has been telling me, and it appears to be resolving." Now, this is a single case report, N of 1, hypothesis generating only, no causal proof established. But the mechanistic implication is hard to dismiss. The ketogenic state shifts neuronal energy substrate from glucose to ketone bodies, specifically beta-hydroxybutyrate, or BHB. BHB enters the metabolic cycle downstream of the glycolytic bottleneck implicated in mitochondrial dysfunction. It also acts as an HDAC inhibitor with epigenetic effects, reduces NLRP3 inflammasome activation, a key driver of neural inflammation, and may support mitochondrial biogenesis. Brain energy metabolism is a genuine therapeutic target. The data is pointing there. So what does this look like as an implementable protocol? Let's build it out.
The protocol here is structured in layers, and it starts at week zero with a baseline assessment. Before you change anything, you need to know where you are. That means fasting glucose, fasting insulin, HbA1c, and a full lipid panel. And specifically, Justin Mars of Kettle and Fire and TrueMed is emphatic on this point. ApoB over standard LDL as your cardiovascular risk marker. Platforms like Function Health give you access to over 190 markers for around $500 annually. Mars's minimum viable cadence for any intervention is 90-day intervals. Anything shorter and you're not capturing meaningful biological signal. For the dietary intervention itself, you're targeting standard ketogenic ratios, carbohydrates at or below 50 grams per day, moderate protein, high fat. Monitor blood BHB via finger stick reader. Nutritional ketosis begins at 0.5 millimoles per liter. The range commonly cited for neurological benefit is 1 to 3 millimoles per liter. You also want to track the glucose ketone index, GKI, as a composite metabolic signal. A GKI below 3 indicates therapeutic ketosis. Below 1 is the deep therapeutic range used in neurological and oncological protocols. Building on that, and this is the part most people skip, electrolyte support in weeks 1 to 3 is critical. Dr. Eric Berg's concurrent protocol specifies magnesium glycinate at 600 milligrams per day. That's almost certainly more than you're currently taking. Potassium at 1,000 milligrams spread across 4 doses to prevent urinary loss, and sodium titrated to thirst. Dr. Berg also notes that magnesium and vitamin D are bidirectionally dependent. Neither functions optimally without the other in place. For timeline expectations, mood and cognitive signals appeared at approximately 2 weeks in Dr. Palmer's case. Psychotic symptom resolution came at 8 to 10 weeks. For subclinical cognitive optimization, the kind of gain most of us are chasing, plan for a 4 to 8 week window before drawing any conclusions.
And the daily tracking stack that makes all of this legible. Morning HRV on a Whoop, Oura Ring, or Polar H10, sleep architecture, including REM and deep sleep percentages, and daily 1 to 10 ratings for mood, energy, focus, and anxiety. Meaningful change thresholds to watch for. A 5-point shift in GKI, a 10 nanogram per milliliter increase in your 25-hydroxy vitamin D, or a consistent 0.3 millisecond increase in morning HRV held over 4 weeks, each of those represents a protocol-responsive signal worth documenting and building on. One safety note that is non-negotiable: never adjust psychiatric medications without prescriber supervision. Full lipid panel at baseline and 3-month follow-up. Ketogenic diets can substantially alter LDL, HDL, and triglyceride profiles, and you need to see that data. Contraindications include fat oxidation disorders like LCAD and MCAD deficiencies. Monitor these variables, not just subjective feel. Let's come back to the cancer detection data for a moment, because the survival rate delta here frames its value more powerfully than any supplement claim ever could. Data cited by Tony Robbins from the American Cancer Society. Stage 4 cancer diagnosis carries approximately a 20% survival rate. Stage 1 carries a 99.8% survival rate. The entire value proposition of early detection lives in that gap, nearly 80 percentage points of survivability, determined almost entirely by timing. Fountain Life's liquid biopsy panel screens simultaneously for 50 different cancer types via circulating tumor DNA from a single blood draw. This is distinct from and complementary to full-body MRI and AI-powered coronary CT angiography for cardiovascular plaque burden. If you're not in a Fountain Life market, they currently have 5 U.S. centers, liquid biopsy panels and CCTA are increasingly accessible through direct access diagnostics companies and concierge medicine practices. This is the diagnostic layer that no supplement stack can substitute for. Measure what's actually happening before layering any intervention on top. And quickly on the fuel and recovery side, Dr. Berg's pre-workout collagen timing protocol is one of the most underutilized mechanical interventions in the Optimizer toolkit. Collagen consumed in isolation by a sedentary person produces negligible structural benefit. Berg calls it expensive urine without the loading signal. The intervention is simple. Consume collagen 30 to 60 minutes before training. The circulating amino acids, glycine, proline, hydroxyproline, are available exactly when fibroblasts are actively remodeling collagen matrices in tendons, ligaments, and cartilage during mechanical load. Stack that with magnesium glycinate, zinc for androgenic muscle signaling, and potassium for neuromuscular junction function. And Dr. Berg's data point on bone density deserves to land clearly. Sedentary or bedridden individuals lose 1 to 2% of bone density per week, roughly 52 times faster than the menopause-related decline rate. Movement is not supplementary to recovery. Movement is the intervention. This week's N of 1 experiment, and I want you to actually run this, not just think about it. Start a ketogenic baseline tracking log today. 5 data points every morning, fasting glucose if you have a meter,
your subjective 1 to 10 ratings for mood, energy, focus, and anxiety, and your HRV from whatever wearable you're using. Run that for 7 days before you change anything dietary. You're establishing a personal control condition. You're making the experiment real instead of conceptual. That's what separates optimization from guesswork. The delta between your baseline and your intervention is the only data that matters for your biology. The convergent signal across everything in today's briefing is unambiguous. Metabolic and mitochondrial health is not a subfield of performance. It is the field. Brain function, immune competence, muscle longevity, cancer detection, psychiatric outcomes, they all run on the same substrate. Measure it, protect it, optimize it with verified endpoints. Optimize your day. Talk tomorrow.